Download the Joy 94.9 smartphone app today. See joy.org.au.
Just want to take a sip of tea if they'll let me. They told me there would be tea. Oh, it's a disaster. Okay, well, we'll just have to rough it. I'm going to be just like everybody else with no hot tea.
You're on More Music Mondays with my special guest, Brad Hay.
Hi, hello.
Well, I don't even know if you're my special guest. You're just here.
I've lost my specialness because I frequently visit.
Well, yeah, this could become a regular thing.
I'll totally come back.
Interested in going steady with me, Brad?
Yeah, well, I...
You're saying that, like, I don't know, brother. Got something to tell me.
I do have a confession.
Am I going to be able to handle it?
I don't know. Obviously, you're a bit hot under the collar, so I don't want to... further heat you up, let's put it that way. But I have discovered something about my body and how I dress that everyone needs to start doing because it's the most amazing feeling.
Does everyone really?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. This is a bloody declaration.
Kylie is, she's performing at somewhere very interesting.
Oh, mate.
Would you say even more than interesting?
This, it looked like a fake headline when I read this. Yeah. It looked like clickbait and I couldn't believe it was true.
Valentine's Day. It's on Wednesday, Brad. Did you know that?
Yeah, TikTok two nights until you have to find yourself a date or be guilted by your lover because you didn't get enough gifts.
Yeah, I do need to start handing out flyers from the top of like a big skyscraper or something, yeah? Just throwing them off with my number.
Yeah, just start putting your number in more cubicles, I guess.
I've never done that. You don't know me. Winter Olympics. Interesting activity going on there.
It's not a very sexy Olympics because everyone's very covered up.
Well, they're cold.
Not a lot of eye candy. Oh, maybe in the figure skating. Yeah. There's a few figure skaters out there that can figure eight.
You're really just telling it like it is, Brad.
Joy.
How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I'm a little bit hot. I did walk here very, very fast. So I'm sweating all over the Joy Studios. I apologise for the next show. It might be a little bit moist.
We'll just send the cleaners in.
Oh, yeah. Are they cleaners
here? Mop it up. There are cleaners here.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad that a community station has janitors.
You have a little dangling earring going on as well that I've never seen before.
Yeah, it's really painful underneath the headphones, but I'm giving a bit of George Michael 80s today and I feel freaking amazing.
You've upstaged me, actually, I have to say, because normally I come in with, like, I don't know, on a throne with,
bloody
like, men lifting me up or something. Anyway... Queer Eye. It's back. If anyone hasn't heard, they've done a revival of it that's just come back this year. And I think the first few episodes have just aired.
Yeah, so it's just hit Netflix and it's called Queer Eye, which is obviously based off the 2000s hit Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, which starred Carson Kressley. And when I saw it come out, I saw the ads and the trailers and I thought, does this have a place in contemporary media? What does queer mean in 2018? Does it mean the same thing it did back then? So I think politically it almost doesn't have a place. Do you need a bunch of gays to come and give you a makeover because... you're just some dowdy hetero. I don't know if the media landscape has changed in how they treat queer people. Don't you agree?
Well, that's it. And a lot has changed since the original show. Like I did say, the original show was groundbreaking. And it sort of was because it sort of brought gay people into the media. And it sort of said, hey, we are fun. But at the same time, there was also novelty around it. And that's where I don't sort of like this new revival because it's like, I don't know, is it saying that all gay people can do is style and all this sort of stuff?
I think it can be homogenising, excuse the pun.
Yeah, and it's a great word though.
It's a little bit, the original show had gimmick and although there was queer representation, which was really powerful at the time, I think it was a little bit stereotypical. But we could take what we could get and that's all we could have gotten at that time. But now that it's 2018, I feel like our representation, if we can, it needs to be a little bit more diverse.
Yeah, correct. And it's like... I think it's like gay rights have come so far and whoever has decided to come up with the reboot has probably maybe thought, oh, well, you know, the LGBTQIA plus is sort of everywhere now. Maybe it's the right time to bring it back. I don't think it sort of is. I almost feel like if they were to have brought a show back. It should have been a stylish show, but maybe it could have had straight people and gay people and whoever else and had sort of a mix, not so much the Queer Eye label.
Yeah, you know? I think so, yeah, because it is boxing queers into one sort of category. And I know that that doesn't really represent me fully. I would love to see more shows that represent someone like me, perhaps a little bit more political or perhaps not... not so stylish, because I definitely don't think I'm stylish.
Controversial topic here or subject. I have to tell you something.
Yes, tell me.
I don't really like Carson Kressley.
Oh, okay. Look,
just going back to the original show.
Is it homophobic to not like Carson Kressley? Who knows?
No, of course not. But I just had that random thought. Yeah, I don't really like him. I didn't really like him.
Joy.
Time to unleash my confession.
Please. Please enlighten me.
So I kind of feel like I was doing what every single person did, and I was doing it my entire life. I'm 26 years old, and it's only been the past 6 months that I've adopted this new lifestyle, and it's unlocked my whole entire world and ultimately made me a better person and improved
my
life. I've decided to give up something.
Oh.
And it's not sex, it's not drugs, it's not alcohol, it's not chocolate. I've given up underwear.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right then.
So
just please tell me more.
So it all started when I went to Europe for about 6 weeks last year, and I severely underpacked.
Right.
And I didn't bring enough jocks. So I had like two pairs for 6 weeks. I stayed at hostels and Airbnbs where they didn't have washing facilities. So I just thought, stuff it. I'm not going to wear undies.
Well, you're in Europe.
Yeah.
Isn't that sort of the place to do that?
Oh, look, I definitely
fit
in.
The Nordic regions were you in? Or?
The naughty Nordic region. Yeah, it was really convenient to just not have to wear that extra layer. So I eventually got used to it. It felt weird at first, but then going commando wasn't just a cheap little thrill to chuck in there every couple of days because I didn't have the washing. It ended up becoming permanent. So it's been about 6 months and I haven't worn undies and it feels amazing. It feels so good because I don't have any constriction, any restriction. I feel free. I feel liberated. It's less washing. And look, when it comes down to hanky-panky, there's one less layer to worry about, Ben.
Well, you know, and you could also go down to being eco-conscious. Are you saving less water?
Totally, that's my motivation.
I'm getting a reminder of that time Kramer in Seinfeld was not wearing any underwear. Did you ever watch Seinfeld?
I've never seen an episode.
Are you kidding?
No.
That was something that Kramer did.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Anyway, and we did call it Brad's Basic Instinct because it just reminded me of, you know, that scene in Basic Instinct with Sharon Stone when she's getting questioned.
I haven't seen that either.
Are you kidding?
Not only do I not wear undies, but apparently I don't leave the house and watch films. So sad life.
I feel like that's one. Are you doing that right now, what you were just saying?
Yeah, I keep... The other thing is you do have to adjust yourself a little more often.
Okay.
So I'm a bit more overt with that.
Yes.
Apologies, Ben, because I keep going to scratch my junk. But it's all worth it because the freedom just tastes so good.
You know, for the first time in my life, I'm speechless.
You should try it. Please try it.
Maybe I'll do a challenge at the end of the week. Yeah. I like firm support, though.
Well, maybe wear tighter pants.
I already do.
They can't get any tighter.
Joy.
You're with Ben and Brad.
Benny. I know that you're absolutely reeling because you've got Kylie news and Kylie is your absolute idol.
Is she? I'm just going to play that down for a sec.
No, you love Kylie. And like, it's a bit of a trope for a gay man to love Kylie, I will admit, but I know that your love and passion for Kylie is unprecedented and it's shocking to me that you're not absolutely exploding right now to tell me this Kylie news.
Well, I'm pretty happy that there was a bit of Kylie news, so therefore I had an excuse to tell everyone about the Kylie news.
Yeah.
So Kylie's announced a promo tour of a bunch of club gigs in Europe, and she's performing in London and Barcelona, all these really cool locations. And there's one location which is in Berlin, which goes by the name of Berghain.
Yes. I'm so excited for this.
And if people don't know Berghain, it's an incredibly famous hotspot in Berlin.
Yeah, it's a very notorious nightclub and it's very different to Kylie Minogue or where you would see a typical Kylie fan. And I was in Berlin last year.
Because you've been there, right?
Yeah, yeah, so I went to Berghain. I stayed there for two nights. Sorry, it's just so messy. I guess it's got such a reputation as the biggest nightclub in the world. Mm. And there's definitely an atmosphere, and they're searching for a certain clientele. So even the entry requirements, don't look at people, don't laugh, wear black. It's got a real cool grunge sort of vibe to it.
Yeah.
So it really perplexes me that Kylie is going to play at this giant Berlin warehouse techno venue, which is very infamous for very heavy drug use and partying for literally 14 hours like I did when I was in Berlin. So I was shocked by the news, and I would love to go to this gig.
I think good on you, Kylie, and I think she's cool enough to perform there as well. There have been... that's a very... I don't know about that. There has been a little bit of flack. Purists, if you will, of the scene have said, oh, Kylie Minogue, she can't perform there and all this stuff. I think it's kind of cool. You know, that club, it does have a very notorious reputation for being hard to get into.
Yes.
Did you have any issues with getting in or...?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because there were about 10 to 12 people in front of us, my partner and I, and I was so nervous because I really wanted to get in. I flew a long way to get there, and they were just kind of laughing, and they were being really jovial and a little bit obnoxious, and they were in three separate groups. They all got knocked back, and it came to our turn, and we somehow were able to slip in. I put it down to me and my boyfriend just being super, super gay, because it does have roots in the queer world.
Because they encourage that. They encourage sort of individuality, don't they?
Yeah. I think they thrive on the alternative. So I was able to get in, but it is so strict.
Yeah.
So many people get knocked back. But the main rule is just don't be a bloody dickhead. But I don't know if they'll have that same requirement for Kylie.
I think it's paid. Not. I think it's like a ticketed event.
Mm.
So it's like private for her. I think they might even close off the other areas? Not that I've ever been. Don't know what happens there.
You don't want to know what happens there. I don't want to soil your innocent mind.
I was looking up urban myths, if you will, of what you're supposed to do to get in there.
Yeah, like, okay.
Apparently you should wear black.
Yes. Yes, I wore all black, but only had skate shoes, which I was really self-conscious about. But there were a few people, even in denim jackets and tank tops. It's like, you could just tell that they weren't fitting in with a lot of other people in the line.
Yeah.
And I was there during Folsom Weekend, which is a really famous kink and fetish weekend, kind of similar to the San Francisco Folsom, but it was in Berlin, which I think it's where it originated. So when I went, it was very kink, very fetishy. And it was absolutely wild. So to picture Kylie Minogue in that sort of venue is blowing my mind.
She's also gone country. So will there be bales of hay with, like, I don't know, jock straps on them or something?
Oh, my God, a dark room. A dark room made out of hay bales.
Oh,
my God, I should be a tour manager.
Suddenly we're visit tourism people for Berlin.
Yeah, well, I can't speak any more highly of Bergen.
Joy.
Valentine's Day.
Mm.
It's 2 days away. Can I just say it's giving me a little bit of anxiety?
Oh, Ben.
Oh.
We need to find you a man.
Yeah. Maybe by the end of the hour. 27 minutes past five. Trains and Traffic is coming up right after this. We were talking about Bergen before, because Kylie's performing there.
Yes.
Someone has just written in, Matt from Collingwood. He said, a gay man in leather will also get in and is often expressed from the back of the queue and into the door. Interesting.
I need to buy some leather.
Well, yeah, don't we all?
I've only got pleather. I'm a pleather daddy.
Me too. I've only got vinyl leather.
It's still sexy.
But when you live in North Fitzroy, you've got to be conscious of those things, don't you?
Well, they're also not very summer appropriate, because I've tried to wear leather before in the heat, and you just incubate.
I just want to quickly say as well, we were sort of talking about the controversy around Kylie performing in Bergen.
Mm.
And I was thinking before, what about, you know, if other sort of artists started performing it sort of out of their comfort zone clubs? Like, what about if, I don't know, the Wiggles performed at Pufdorf or something?
Oh my God, that would be sensational.
What about like John Farnham at Revolver? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh my God, that would be excellent.
Yeah.
I think more artists need to branch out a little bit.
Oh, they really do. I'd love to see Farnsey there. 2 days away, it's Valentine's Day.
Mm. How do you feel as a single man? Because often there is a lot of pressure on single people, which I think is totally bonkers, and we should revel in our singledom.
Yeah.
But often, especially from heteros,
they
just love to put that pressure on. If you're not in a relationship, then you're pretty much redundant as a human. So, Ben, as a single person, how do you feel on Valentine's Day?
Just keep saying single person.
Ben is very single.
You know, the thing with Valentine's Day, like let's just be real for a sec. It is sort of like a Hallmark holiday.
Mm.
It's very sort of commercialized and fake, you know. I sort of understand. But you know, I feel like, you know, you've got Easter and you've got Christmas and all that, and they're sort of holidays you can, everyone can get something out of. Even if you're not religious on Easter, you can eat chocolate.
Yes.
Even if you're not religious on Christmas, you get presents or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Valentine's Day does require someone to love you or just have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And look, I normally don't care, but there is always this little part of me on the day that hopes a secret admirer will come through, or I get the little card that Lisa gets in The Simpsons by Ralph.
Choose you.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you get Cho-Cho chosen one day, Ben, because you're an amazing guy, but I wouldn't fret. I think a lot of people worry about Valentine's Day. It's just another bloody day constructed by corporations for financial greed. It's not something
you
to take
say
too
it,
seriously.
No, thank you. I'm hearing what I want to hear.
With myself and my fiance, we do not give a stuff about Valentine's Day because we show that sort of love every day. I don't need a day to validify my relationship.
Yes.
I just feel like so many people crumble under this imaginary pressure. Just because I think society places a lot of positive emphasis on being in a relationship.
Yeah.
But revel in your solitude and your independence because you're a grown-ass girl and you don't need no man.
What are you doing on Wednesday? You're cool to give me that pep talk again.
Why don't I just listen to this podcast over and over.
Do you have plans for the day?
No, nothing.
Good
go
on
to work,
you.
Go home, have a wank. That's it.
Oh, okay then.
Sorry.
Hey,
honest.
You know, on that note...
Yes!
Do we even need to intro this song? The piano bars are enough.
Oh, this gives me such joy and such life. Excellent choice.
I'm going to get some scissors out and just make my shorts a little bit shorter.
Oh, just take them off.
I'm going to press the remote control. The platform's going to rise. Oh. We're in the nightclub.
Oh, my God. Get on the waterbed. This is happening.
Oh, my goodness. This is CC Peniston with Finally. Such a banger, Joy. I mean, Brad, you're on Joy. Cece Peniston, finally. The Olympics, the Winter Olympics.
Yes, the Winter Games in Pyeongchang.
Winter Games. Mm. They're all happening. I'm not a very sportsy person. What a horrible use of wording.
Oh, really?
But there was something that did attract my eye because I was reading that 110,000 condoms are given to the athletes.
That's a lot of dingers.
The site. Well, that's just a lot of productivity, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Well, they're so pent up because these athletes dedicate their whole lives and their schedules for months and years is dedicated to being an elite athlete.
Yeah.
And often, this is what I've heard, because a colleague of mine, his brother is Scotty James, who is okay. an Olympic snowboarder.
Right.
And he said that their coaches often say, this is really rude, but yeah. don't have a natural sexual release.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want that testosterone build up so right. that you've got that competitive edge when you compete.
Yeah.
So that's why in the Olympic Village, and it happened in the Summer Games as well in Rio,
yeah.
they just get it on like rabbits because they're finally able, after months and possibly years, have that organic, natural sexual release.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you? Like, all the athletes are really attractive and it's the end of a competition. They wouldn't have to compete for a while, so why not get your rocks off?
Well, I was just thinking that, though. Wouldn't they be concentrating? Like, if I was, God forbid, performing in the Olympics, don't think it would ever happen.
Oh.
Well, I just get a stitch doing my, like, shoelaces. But I would just be running around in circles. I wouldn't even be able to think about sex or anything.
I think it's after their event, more or less, that they would be wanting to strap on the condom.
Well, you know, one thing I'm thinking, though, there would be a lot of hot bodies there.
Oh,
people
100%.
Would be pretty fit. A lot of temptation.
And a lot of the time they share rooms and share dorms, so you're in this close intimate contact.
Yeah.
I'm guessing after your event, especially if you win, or even if you lose, you need to have that release.
Just a fun fact for you, when I was researching condoms at...
at Olympics, very obscure topic.
At the Rio Olympics in 2016... 450,000 condoms were there. That shouldn't really... Is that surprising? Is that... That's pretty big.
I just think...
No pun intended.
If there's that many condoms and there's that much horizontal hanky-panky, how many Olympic babies are out there?
Oh, well, who knows? You know. It could just be a Jerry Springer moment waiting to happen.
Like, there could be kids that are there like, oh, yeah, I was a Sydney baby. Oh, how about you? Yeah, I was Atlanta. Mm. You know, because they're having that much sex.
And apparently it's enough for the 110,000 for the Winter Olympics now. It's enough for 37 per athlete.
Oh, my God.
If you should ever need that many. I don't think I've ever even seen 10 or 12. In my life, I feel like that amount I would just pop in a time capsule and just sort of save for when I
dust them off when you're 80.
Well, considering my Valentine's Day story, I think that might be suitable.
Well, I hope and pray that one day, Ben, you can use all those fringers.
All 37?
Yeah, why not? In one night, it's easy.
Brad, just quickly, you're getting married, which is super exciting.
I know.
You're engaged.
What the actual? I can't believe it.
What the actual? You've got an engagement party as well. How exciting.
Yeah, I can't believe that I'm spending all this cash just to let everyone know that I'm in love. It's going to be such a crazy night, and I'm running around trying to organise it. My partner, Beau, has been lovely. He's pretty much taken the whole weight of the engagement party, so I'm one of those people getting married. Oh, it's so scary.
You know what you need? You need one of those, like...
Assistants.
From like one of those reality shows, preferably gay, let's be honest.
I need the Fab Five from Queer Eye to organise my wedding for me, Ben.
He's got to be really over top. He's got to have the clipboard and he's got to have some really exotic accent and follows you around everywhere. And you're like emotional and you're just like, oh no, I hate this, I can't do this. And he's like, no, darling, it's going to be fine or something.
Yeah, because I will be a groomzilla. Where is my sparkle? Where is my glitter? Francois, give it to me now.
Brad, I've loved having you here.
Thank you so much.
And
I've loved being here. Look, I'll be around. I'm like a bad rash. I'll flare up.
Can't get rid of you.
Yeah.
No matter how much cream I use.
Ooh.
Brad, love you long time. See you soon.
Love ya.
Bye.
Joy.